All right, we're going to start here on the top of Kufiyud Bet Amud Aleph. We left off at the Gemara yesterday. We're describing a limud from the pasuk ve'ilav hu nosev nafsho. There, the Gemara says davar acher ve'ilav hu nosev nafsho. Kol kovesh sachar sachir. Anybody who withholds the compensation of a worker, kilo notel nafsho mimenu. It's as if he takes his life from him. So then we saw that there was a machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna and Rav Chista, chadamar nafsho shel gazlan, whose life is taken over here, that of the thief, meaning the owner who does not compensate the worker on time, he is the one who loses his life. Chadamar nafsho shel nigzal, the life of the one who is supposed to be paid, meaning the poel, his life is taken by the fact that he withholds his payment. Manda amar nafsho shel gazlan, the one who says it's the nefesh of the gazlan, meaning the person who is not compensating the worker on time, dichtiv, because it says in Mishlei, ad tigzal dal ki dalhu, do not steal from the destitute, ki, the pashup shot here would be because he is poor. Rashi says the word ki he does not mean because, but rather im, which means if he is poor, do not steal from him. Ve'al tidake ani bashar, and do not oppress those that are poor in the gateways. Uchtiv, the reason why, is because in the next pasuk, ki Hashem Rivam, you think that you can take advantage of the poor, and therefore you should steal from them because nobody will stand up for them. So that's no. Ki Hashem Rivam, Hashem will do their battle. V'kavat kuvim nafesh, and he will steal away from those that steal from them their nefesh, their lives. So over here, who's the one who's stealing from the poor or from the poel is the balabait. So Hashem will step in and protect those that are not compensated, those that are poor, the poel, and he will take the life of the one who is causing him the problem. Umanda amar nafsho shel nigzal, according to the one who says, no, that the nefesh that's lost here is that of the nigzal, meaning the poel who doesn't get paid, dichtiv. Kain orchot kol botzea batza. This is the ways of all despoilers, all those that perpetrate evil, et nefesh balav ikach. They will remove, if they will take the lives of those that are in their way, meaning that it will take the life of the owners, meaning the owners over here, or those who rightfully should get paid over here, their life will be taken. V'idach, what about the other person, the other opinion here that says, Namiach tivet nefesh balav ikach? What is he going to do with this pasuk of nefesh balav ikach? Sounds like it is the nigzal who gets killed. Somewhere it says, balav dahashto. I mean, it takes the life of balav. Balav has changed now. The owner was the poel. He was the one who was rightfully entitled to the compensation. But now, who owns the item, or who's holding on to the money? That is balav dahashto. That is the gazlan. And that's who will lose his life. V'idach namiach tivet. What about the other, right, the opinion who says that it is the life of the nigzal that is taken over here? What about kovea et v'kavat kovehem nefesh? There it sounds like Hashem will do battle and take the life of those that wronged the poor. So the man says, no, matam kamar. He says, no, the pasuk is explaining, why will Hashem fight their battle? Matam kavat kovehem, why will Hashem go back and steal from them and remove from them? Mishum did not know nefesh, because they killed. I mean, who did they kill? They killed the nigzal, they killed the poel. They oppressed the ani and the destitute, and therefore Hashem will come back and take retribution from them. So, Ematai, our Mishnah tells us, Bizman Shetavo, that when is the balabait in violation of Lo Talin? That's only if the worker asks for his compensation. Lo tavo, if he does not ask for the compensation, eino aver alav, he's not in violation of that isur. So Tanu Rabbanan, lo talin pulat sachir, the pasuk says lo talin pulat sachir, yachol afilo lo tavo. I would think that even if he does not ask for his sachar, that would be, you'd still be in violation. Tamalomar itcha. It says lo talin pulat sachir itcha ad boker. And that itcha comes to teach you that it means ledatcha, that you must know, you must be aware. Itcha means with you. So you must be aware of the fact that you're leaving over the compensation. Yachal afilu einlo, you would think that he'd be in violation of a lo talin pulat sachir itcha al boker if he doesn't have the money to compensate him. Tamalomer itcha. Only if you have sufficient compensation, then are you in violation. But if you have no money to pay him, then you're not in violation of the Isser. I would think that even if you place him, give him over to the Shulchani or the Chenveni and say, please compensate on my behalf or give him credit in the store on my behalf, that you'd be in violation because you haven't paid him. Tamalomar itcha, that has to be with you. I mean, that only if you haven't seen to it that he is compensated. But if you give him over to the Chenveni or to the Shulchani and they're going to compensate him, then there is no violation of the Isur. So now the Gemara continues. If he gives him over to the Shulchani or the Chenveni to pay him, he says, listen, this storekeeper will compensate you. You need food, he's going to compensate you in the store, the amount that I owe you. Or this Shulchani, you need money, ma'ot, I gave him money, he'll pay you. So in that case, he's not in violation of the Isur of Lo Talin. So Gemara says, Zibaylu, Choser, O Eno Choser. Is he able to go back or not go back? So now it's not clear here who or what we're talking about. I will go with the simple pshat. The Tosfos actually has three different pshatim about how to read this in Gemara. We'll go with the pshat in the end, which he ends up using in the end, which is that in this case, does he have the ability to come back to the Baal HaBayit? Does the Po'el have the ability to come back to the Baal HaBayit and ask for his compensation? Rav Sheshet Damar Eino Chuzer. Rav Sheshet says he may not return to the Baal HaBayit. Once the Baal HaBayit has passed it on to these other individuals to compensate him, his din is with these individuals. The Baal HaBayit is now out of the picture. V'Rabba Amar, Rabba says, Choser, he is allowed to go back to the Baal HaBayit. So now Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Mena Aminallah, how can I prove to you that I'm right that he's allowed to go back to the Baal HaBayit? Miktani, Eino Over Alav. So that's in our Mishnah. It says that if he passes him on to the Chenveni and the Shulchani, it says that he's not in violation of the Yisur of Lo Talin. Mavar Hu Delo Avar. He's not in violation of the Yisur HaMahadar Hadar, but he's still, the Poel can still come back to the Baal HaBayit. So all the Mishnah addresses is that passing him on to these individuals helps him with regards to the fact that he's no longer in violation of the Yisur. But to say that he's now Patur the Gamre from having to pay, that is not true. The Poel can go back to the Baal HaBayit. Rav Sheshet Amar, Rav Sheshet says, my Eno Over, Eno B'Torat Lavor. I mean, Eno Over means that he's not in the Parsha to be in violation anymore. Why is he not in the Parsha to be in violation anymore? It's because he's passed along the obligation to these other individuals, and he is no longer on the hook. If he's no longer on the hook, or he can't be in violation, then it means that the Poel cannot come back to that individual. So now, we'll look at Tosfos for a second. It's a large Tosfos here, but Tosfos just points out in the beginning where it's Pashut to him. Meaning that he says, first of all, if you look in the beginning of the Tosfos, what he says, Hey Chadar Malay, Ani Poter So, afilu lo yitain li, pshita deno choser. It's clear if the Poel says to him, listen, you're off the hook now, if he says that directly to the Baal HaBayit, to the owner, or to the person, his employer, that he's off the hook, and he can't come back to him and ask him for anything, because he says, listen, even if they don't give it to me, I'm not coming back to you. That's fine. That's clear. If you skip down one line towards the end of the line, it says, Ve'echa darmalei nami ani portecha im yifrali. If the Poel says, I'm taking you off the hook, if they pay me, if the Poel says to the employee says to the employer, if these individuals who you have assigned to pay me, then you're off the hook. Then it's pshita de choser. It's clear that he can go back because the condition was never fulfilled. He never got paid by them. So obviously he's not poter the Baal HaBayit, and he can go back to them. Now, so what's the case over here? So Tosa says, v'hocha mayri, k'shamar le'a poel stama, shismocha l'shulchani. The worker says, fine, I'll rely on the storekeeper, I'll rely on the money changer. So he doesn't give an explicit condition, and he doesn't give an explicit mechila to the Baal HaBayit. So that's our case over here. Now the Gemara wants to know, in that case, choser, ve'eno choser. So the first interpretation of Tosos is when the Poel comes and says to him that he's going to rely on the Shulchani, what is the position of the Shulchani then? What is the din of the Shulchani? Is the Shulchani now on the hook to the extent that they can't go back to the Baal HaBayit? And it's as if the Shulchani said to the Poel, listen, rely on me because, you know, he gave you over to me. You don't have to worry about the Baal HaBayit. The Baal HaBayit's off the hook here. Or do we say when the Poel says, I'm going to rely on the Shulchani, it means, right, that the Shulchani, I'm going to rely on him, but the Baal HaBayit, are still on the hook if the Shulchani doesn't pay. And the reason the Shulchani would be Chayav and not the Baal HaBayit is because it's as if the Shulchani made himself into an arev to a guarantor to pay here, and he, as if he forgave the Baal HaBayit, as if he said, the Baal HaBayit's off the hook. And therefore, according to Rav Sheshet, you can't go back to the Baal HaBayit. And according to Rabbah, you can't go back to the Baal HaBayit because there was never this explicit term that the Shulchani never says that you are patur and just rely on me. It's just that they someich on him, but that they can go back to the Baal HaBayit. The second possibility, Tosfos says, is that the case here is actually a case where he explicitly says, you will be patur if the Shulchanir or the Arev pays me. But if not, Echzor Aleich, if not, I will go back to you and ask you for the money. Now, the argument is about when the Shulchanir has not paid him or the Chenvani has not paid him yet. They're not refusing to pay, they just haven't paid him yet. Does the Poel have the right to go back to the Balabait? When he goes back to the Balabait, can the Balabait say to him, listen, you know, you're not, you only said you'll come back to me if they don't pay. They're willing to pay, so you can't come back to me. Right? So that'll be Rav Sheshet's position. Or Rabba's position is no, that since they have yet to pay, therefore he has the entitlement or has the right to go back to the Baal HaBayit to make his claim and ask for his compensation. So that'll be the machlokas. Now, according to both of those interpretations of Tosfot, Tosfot comes to the conclusion that there is no kinyan in our case here. There is no formal kinyan. And both of them, according to Rav Sheshet, have a mechila, have some sort of forgiveness of an obligation. So Tosfot says, from this we would conclude that if someone forgives or says you are patur, has mechila, you do not have to make a kinyan in order to lock them into that position, meaning that they're statement is binding even without an additional kinyan or an external kinyan to affirm such a mechila. Because of that, Tosfos brings a third interpretation, which is the way I thought the Gemara read originally, which is that this sugya has nothing to do with mechila, forgiveness, but rather has to do with the issue of the violation of Baal Talin, meaning that Choser and Eino Choser is a reference to the Baal HaBayit. Once he hands off the Poel to the Chenvani and the Shulchani, is he now cleared from the Isur of Baal Talin? And even if the Poel comes back to him on that day to ask for payment, he will not be in violation of Lo Talin. Or maybe if he comes back to him, I mean, sure, he's patur as long as he doesn't come back to the Baal HaBayit. But if he does come back to the Baal HaBayit, it will be Choser v'Neor. The Isur of Lo Talin will be valid again or be problematic for the employer. So that's the machlokes between Rav Sheshet and Rabba. So the Tosfos goes to that explanation because then you don't have any proof from our sugya over here that forgiveness does not require a kinyan, because we're not even talking about mechila in our sugya. Tosfos in the end goes back and says, you know what? Eino hachanami, that is the halacha. The halacha is that when it comes to mechila, comes to forgiveness and allowing people to be disengaged from their obligations or forgiving them from their obligations, you do not need a kinyan to ensure that that commitment is carried out. That statement is enough. And therefore, Tosfos says you could go with the first two of his possible interpretations of the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Baumi name Rav Sheshet. They ask the question of Rav Sheshet. Kablanut, over alav mishum baltalin, o eno over alav mishum baltalin. When it comes to kablanut, kablanut over here is contracting. You ask, you hire somebody to do a specific job for you, right? Is there a violation of baltalin when they bring you the finished product, right? Is there a violation of baltalin? Umun kone b'shevachli valvahi. Do we say the way a contractor gets compensated is that he now has increased the value of the object that you gave to him? For instance, if you give a wool and to a weaver, and he goes ahead and weaves you a beged, a clothing out of that. Now, when he comes to get his compensation, is he trading the clothing because he created value and that's embedded in the clothing and now you're paying him for that piece of clothing? Oh, no, the uman gets compensated for his time, like a worker. And the sheva kli, the item always belongs to the owners. Uschiruti, and then it would be like schirut, then it would be like compensation. If it's compensation versus purchase, right, then you would be in violation of Lo Talin. So if we say that the way a worker gets compensated is that he has created value and now he's selling that value, then there's no issue about Talin. On the other hand, if we say that he's compensated for his time, the object always belongs to the Baal HaBayit or to the owner, then there is chirut, then there is compensation. If there's compensation or wages, then he could be in violation of Lo Talin. Amar Lo Rav Sheshet over, he is in violation that you could be in violation of Baal Talin when it comes to a contractor, an artisan, an uman. Hatanya, don't we have an explicit price that says Eino Over, that he's not in violation? So Hatam Shimchu Eitzel Chavani Veitzel Shulchani. No, the reason there he's not in violation of the Yisur is because he passed them on to a Shulchani and a Chenvani. So name of Messiah, let us say that this price is a proof to Rav Sheshet's position. Hanutein Talitot Uman. Someone gives his beged, his shirt, or his clothing to an Uman. Gamra. He finished it, whatever work, whatever tailoring or work he was supposed to do, and he finishes it, v'hodio, and he lets him know that it's done. Even from today, if he doesn't come to pick it up, he doesn't compensate him for 10 days, then he's not in violation of Baal Talin. Not nalo. On the other hand, once the craftsman over here hands the item to the Baal HaBayit, somewhere through the day, Mishashaka Alav Chama Over Mishum Baltalin. If he reaches sunset and he hasn't compensated him, then he's in violation of Baltalin. So you clearly see here from this Braisa that there is a violation of Baltalin by an Uman, by a craftsman, and that would support the position of Rosh Hashet. Mar says, V'yamart Uman Kone B'Shevachli, if you say the way that a craftsman gets compensated is by the fact that he's really selling the increased value of the object back to the owner, and that's how he's getting compensated, Mayover, how could he be in violation? So it sounds exactly like Sheshet that you will can be in violation because this is considered compensation. So Amar of Mari, Breder of Kahano. No, the case here is Begarder de Saravala. We're talking about here when he is, the worker is using a teasel. A teasel is an object that that uses a sharp wire or an object here to work over the clothing to soften up the item. So the Gemara says, so based on that, there's actually a degradation in value because prior to the use of this teasel or the softening of the item would have lasted longer. Now by softening it, it has a shorter lifespan. And that shorter lifespan is actually a detraction in the value. And therefore, how can you claim that he has Uman, is Kone B'Shevach Kli? So it's a unique circumstance, the Gemara says, where there is no Shevach Kli. And then in that instance, you're right, then there is Chirut. But in general, no, Uman is Kone B'Shevach Kli. Gemara says, wait a minute. L'mayovi nil. If you think he's not increasing any value, why did he give it to him? Nobody gives over an object to a person to be destroyed. They're not giving it to him so that he can do something bad to it. No, they're giving it over to him in order to soften it. So that is its increased value, meaning that for certain people, having the item be softer has more value than it being having a longer lifespan. And so that fact makes it shevach, makes it that the value of the object has gone up in their eyes. Otherwise, they wouldn't have hired the individual. So lo tzricha, no, the case here, the Gemara says, no, it's a case, the ka agre mine livtushe, right? He hired him to stomp on the item. He hired somebody to work over it, whether it's leather or an item that he wants to soften, and he hires him to stomp on it in order to soften the item. But then he pays him bachu bachu bimato. He says, I'll pay you per stomp or per time that you do the stomping here, irrespective of whether it improves the object or doesn't improve the object. So there it's clear that even though he's a craftsman, he's hiring him specifically for the specific action that he's going to take and not because of the increased value of the object, because he doesn't even look at the increased value when it comes to compensation. He simply says, I'll pay you for your time, or I'll pay you for the number of times that you stomp on this object, irrespective of the value created. So there, the Gemara says, everybody agrees that it's schirut. So that Bryce is talking about that unique case, and that's going schirut. That is, everybody agrees it's schirut, and you'll be in violation of Baltalin. But that's not a general principle that any uman, every craftsman, has a din of Baltalin or schirut, and it'll konebe shevachli. And therefore, this is not necessarily a proof to the position of Rav Sheshet. All right, so the Gemara on the top of the next Amud begins, Sechir b'zmano nishba v'notel. When it comes to a sechir, the worker, when it's in the time period where he's entitled to collect, meaning within the period, the 12 hours or the period after that he has finished working with, if he finished in the day, the nighttime afterwards, the 12 hours, or finished during the night, the 12 hours of the daytime where he's entitled to collect, we said there he can take a shvu'ah and he can collect his money. Sechir, amai takinu l'rabbanan l'mishtaba v'shakil. Why did the Rabbanan institute that a sechir can come along, take a shvu'ah and collect? Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel, halachot gidolot shanukan. We learned, this is a great halacha that we learned over here. The Gemara says, what do you mean halachot? Ani hilchata ninu? This is halacha, halacha l'moshi misinai? We know this is a din de rabbanon. No, so he says, hani takanot ninu? This is a takanat rabbanan. Ella, no, amend the statement of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel, takanot gidolot shanukan. We're talking about, this is a big takana over here. Where it says, gidolot, michlau diket ktanot. You say that this is a big takana, which implies that there are smaller takanot. Where we have smaller takanot? This is the only takanot that we know. El Amar of Nachman Hashmol, takanot kivuot shanukan. We're talking about a fixed takanot or special takanot over here. The reason that it's done in plural, as Tosa says, is because the Gemara in Shvuot has a number of items where you nishbav notel. The Poel is not the only unique individual who has this ability. There are a number of other people who have this ability, and that's why it's written in the plural over here. What is the big takana? Shvua de balabaiti. The shvua really belongs to the balabait. Either mina Torah, if he's modebe miktzat, then he's obligated to take the shvua. Or if he's not obligated, he's modebe miktzat, he's kofer bako, he denies the whole thing. So in that instance, he's chayev shvua teseit midrabanan. But either way, the shvua should have devolved upon the balabait. The akrua, the rabbanan went ahead. Akrua rabbanan the shvua the balabait. They took it away from the balabait. And v'shadua sachir b'shem kedei chayev the sachir. They moved over to sachir in order to protect the livelihood of the sachir. Gemara says, "Umishum kidei chayav de sachir mafsedan alei le balabait." Wait a minute. because of the benefit or the livelihood of the Sakhir, we're going to cause the Balabait a loss and allow the Sakhir to come in here and take a Shvua and not allow the Balabait to take his Shvua to defend himself. Where it says, Balabait kufei nechale. No, the Balabait enjoys or has preference for the Sakhir to take the Shvua over here. The Mishtaba Sakhir v'shakil, said he should swear and take it. Kehecha delitgaru le'poalim. So he should be known as a Balabait who is a good employer. Because here he allows the Sakhir is the one who takes the Shvua and he pays. He does not deny anything. So the fact that he's not denying anything shows that he's a good employer, and therefore people will come to work for him. So when it says, Sakhir kufe nechale de mishtaba balabait, you can say the same thing about the employee, about the poel. He'd rather the balabait takes the shua, vifka, and then he'll be patur, meaning that the balabait will take the shua and be patur. Kehecha de legru. So in order that people should hire him, mean that he'll be a more appealing employee. If people find out that he's taking shvuot and making claims against employers, people will be reluctant to hire him. So he preferred that the Baal Bayit takes the shvuot, not him. So where it says, Baal Bayit al korchei agar. No, the Baal Bayit has to hire employees. Since he has to hire employees, he'd rather have the shame tov. The Gemara says, Sakhir nami bal korchei itgar. Talking about the Sakhir also needs, he needs to make a livelihood, he needs to make a living. So he also has to get hired no matter what. Ella, that can't be the reason. Ella, Baal Bayit tarud bipoalim hu. The Baal Bayit is busy with all his workers, with all his finances, and therefore he's not focused on the each individual salary. Where it says, Ihochi native label shvua. So if that's the case, why don't we just say when the poel comes and makes a claim that he gets paid, why does he have to take a shvua at all? Where it says, Kedei lahapis dato shel balabayit, in order that the balabayit should feel at ease that this individual is not just coming and making a double claim on him, he's dipping, doing a double dip, but rather that he honestly didn't pay him. So therefore he takes a shvua. So where it says, wait a minute, now we're forcing a shvua in general, we're forcing a poel to take a shvua to get his money. When the Gemara and Tosos's attitude in general is that we try to avoid a shvua at all costs. So if we try to avoid a shvua at all costs, aren't there other possibilities or other solutions here? Benetivle be'edim, let him pay all his workers with edim, right? So therefore, there will never be a question. We'll never have to come to shvua. It says trichaluhu milso. That's too burdensome, right? Having every time the Baal Bayit needs to compensate, he has to have edim there. That would be considered a kana. That is not really realistic. So the Gemara says, all right, here another solution. Native le mikara. Let him pay the poalim, let him pay the workers up front. Instead of paying them in the back end, let him pay them up front, and therefore there won't be any questions. Nobody can come make a claim, you didn't pay me, because he pays everybody right when they start working. It says, Shnehem rutzim b'hakafa. They both want there to be credit over here. The Baal Bayit wants credit so that he has time to get the compensation or the wages for the employee. The employee would rather the Baal Bayit pays him at the end of the day so he doesn't have to hold on to his wages all day and possibly lose them. He'd rather get them at the end of the day or at the end of his work so he can take them home, right home. He doesn't have to walk around with them all day. Mar says, Ihochi, if that is the conclusion, that we allow the poel to take a shvua over here, afilu katsatz nami. If they argue about the salary or the amount of the wage, why don't we say the same thing over there? Alama Tanya, why do we have a case? The Brisa says not like that. Uman, Omer Stein Katzatzali, the craftsman and artisan says that you promised me two for this work. And the other one says, no, I only promised you one. Hamotzi mechavero alav araya. Whoever wants to be motzi over here, whoever wants to take the money, has to bring the proof in this instance. So why don't we say over here again, Nishba v'notel, right? So why don't we say nishba benotel? And rather over here we say motzi mechavero alav araya. It says ktsitza vadei midkar dechirele inche. People know the wages. People don't forget what salary they gave to an individual or what they're compensating the individual. They might forget if they've paid or not, but they always know what they offered or what they were willing to pay for such an item or for such work that is done. So based on that, the shvua will remain with the balabayit. If it's modu miksa, it'll be a shvua d'oraita, which it looks like over here, since he is saying one and verses two, and therefore he'll take a shvua d'oraita, but we won't pass the shvua onto the sakhir. If the sakhir wants to get compensated over here, he'll have to bring a proof, and he can't just take a nishba v'notel. Where it says, if the case is that we let the Sakhir take a Shvua in order to take his money because the Baal Bayit doesn't remember if he paid, then why don't we say even when the Zman is passed? Our Mishnah says that only within the confines or the context of the time when the Baal Bayit is in violation of Lo Talin does the Sakhir, the Poel or the Sakhir have the ability to go and take Nishba v'notel. Why don't we say even afterwards he has the right to be Nishba v'notel if the Baal Bayit doesn't remember? So Alam Atnan, what does our Mishnah say? Avar Zmano Eino Nishbav Ein Otel. It says, Chazakah Ein Bala Bayit Over Mishum Bal Talin. There's a general Chazakah that the Bala Bayit does not violate the Isur of Lotalin. Va'amart Bala Bayit Tarud B'po Alavhu. Wait a minute. You just said before that the Bala Bayit is not focused on all this on each individual Poelam, but he's focused on the general or generality of his finances and all the workers that he needs to compensate. So why all of a sudden now does he become aware? It says, Hanim Ilim Kamit Lim Tezman Chuyu. That's before he would be in violation of the Yisur. Before he's in violation of the Yisur, he gets involved in other things, he doesn't think about it. But, when it comes to the point where he might be in violation of the Yisur, he'll make sure, he'll sit down, he'll look into his finances, and make sure that he compensated because he doesn't want to violate the Yisur Midoraisa. Where it says, okay, so that's from the tzad of Bala Bayit. What about the tzad of the tzachir? V'chi tzachir over mishum bal tigzol. You think that the tzachir, this poel, is going to come here and double dip, ask for his salary twice? You think that means that we assume that he would be willing to steal? Why do we say that? Just like we said about the Bala Bayit, that he's not willing to violate the Isur Bal Talin, why don't we say about the Socher that he wouldn't be willing to lie in order to get more money or to take his salary twice? So why do we give benefit to the, or benefit of doubt to the Bala Bayit rather than to the Poel after the Zman has passed? It says, Hatam Trei Chazake, Hacha Chadazaka. There's, by the Bala Bayit, there's actually two Chazakot, and by the Socher there's only one, or by the Sakhir or the Poel, there's only one Chazaka. By the Bala Bayit, Gabe Bala Bayit, Ika Trei Chazake. There's two Chazakot. One is Chada Dein Balabait Over Mishum Bal Talin. One is that the Balabait is not in violation of Bal Talin. The Chado, and the other one is Dein Sachir Mishes Charo. The other one is that a Sachir in general will not let his compensation pass. He will not let the time in which he's able to collect pass. And therefore, since we're past that time, we assume that he took his money. He wouldn't have let it pass otherwise. V'halcha, when it comes to the Sachir or the Poel, there's only one Chazakah. The Chazakah is that he wouldn't lie, that he wouldn't say, that he wouldn't be gozel. And therefore, since the Balabait has two chazakot versus the Poel is one chazakah, we say that we give the benefit of the doubt to the Balabait and not to the Poel in the instance where the Zman has passed. Tosus over here discusses two points. The first of which is, for the Sakhir, we say there's a chazakah that he would not steal, lo tigzol. Why don't we say the same thing by the Balabait or the employer? The employer, we said that he wouldn't violate Baltalin, but why don't we also say he wouldn't violate lo tigzol? So Tosus' answer to that is that the chazakah is here that he won't violate any sur. It's not a chazakah he won't violate lo tigzol, he won't violate lo talin. That doesn't matter how many levin you speak about, the chazakah of each individual is that he won't violate any sur. So the chazakah of the Sakhir and the Poel is that he won't violate Lo Tigzol. He won't violate that Isur. For the Balabait, means that he won't violate any Isur. It means he won't violate Lo Tigzol and he won't violate Baltalin. Meaning that the Chazakah of the individual stands against the other Chazakahs that they won't violate the Isur. It doesn't matter how many Levin. The second thing that Tosfos points out over here is that the Chazakah of the Bala Bayit that he will not violate Baltalin is actually not a perfect Chazakah. It's actually a weaker Chazakah. Because if not, why don't we say over here that the Sakhir or the Poel has a chazakah that he would not steal? The Balabait has a chazakah that he won't violate Baltalin. So now you have a Bari v'Bari. We have two definitive claims over here. And what do we say when there's Bari versus Bari? Hamotzi mechaveru alav araya. So over here, why don't we say the obligation is on the Poel, the Sakhir, to bring evidence to get his money back? Why do we need it to be two chazakot of the employer versus the one chazakah of the employee? It'd be sufficient if it was one versus one. Ella Tosa says no, that it must be that chazakah of Baltalin, that the employer will not violate Baltalin, is a weaker chazakah. Why? Because sometimes he does forget. Sometimes the Bala Bayit forgets. We know already that he forgets up front, and so maybe also in the back end he also forgets. In addition to that, Tosa says that the chazakah of Baltalin is only applicable or only relevant in the context of where we say that there's a chazakah that the Sakhir Poel will not leave his wages past the certain point in time. Since the Sakhir will not leave his wages past that point in time, therefore there is a chazakah that the Bala Bayit paid and was not in violation of Baltalin, or the same way the other way around. There is only a chazakah that the Sakhir will not leave his wages there when we know that the Bala Bayit will not violate Bal Talin. So they actually are connected. Those two chazakot are not, can't really, don't stand independently. They're actually codependent, and therefore they really look like one big chazakah. So based on that, Tosu says that truthfully, even though the Gemara says it's two chazakot versus one chazakah, really in the end, those two chazakot combine to be a single chazakah because they don't stand independently, and it's a somewhat weakened chazakah. And then when we have that one chazakah, the double chazakah of the employer versus the one strong chazakah of the poel. Then we have bari versus bari, and we have bari versus bari. Then we have a din of a motzi mechavero alav haraya. And in that case, the Sakhir, or the poel, can't take his claim, can't ask for his money after the zman, even if he takes a shvua, but rather the shvua will be along with the balabait, and the balabait, if he's kofer brakol, would have to take a shvua tesait, and if he was mode miksat, he would take a shvua min a Torah of mode bimiksat. Okay, we're continuing the Gemara now. Im yesh edim shetavo, harizeh nishva v'notel. If he has a dim that he already made the claim from him, he asked him to get his compensation, then he can continue to take a shvua notel even after the zman has passed. Vaha katavu the kaman. Why do we need edim to show that he's making a claim from the balabait? He's standing in front of us asking the balabait for his compensation. So Amar Abasi shetavo bizmano, that he actually asked him during the period where he should have asked him. He has edim, then he asked him in the period where he was entitled to nishba v'notel. That's why in the Mishnah, if you look back in the Mishnah, our Mishnah actually has the word zmano in it. And the Marshal takes out the word zmano because that's added by the Gemara. The Gemara modifies or explains what does it mean that he has edim that he was tovea. It means tovea bizmano. So that's the addendum of the Gemara, not explicitly found in the Mishnah. Gemara says, v'dilma labatar hachi para. Well, just because he has a dim that he requested the money, that doesn't mean that he wasn't paid. I mean, the rabbi could have paid him after he asked for the money. So Amar Abaye shetavo kol zmano, that he asks him all the time. I mean, that he continues to ask him with a dim, he continues to claim or ask for his compensation. And when it says, uli olam, forever. So Rashi says, what does it mean, the olam? How could it be, l'olam? I mean, that is this sakhir believed forever that he can make a claim now, forever, to come to this balabait and say, you owe me money? Rashi says, why? Because you think a sakhir, you think a worker is going to leave his compensation with the individual forever for so long? No way. He's not going to leave it that long. So how could you say now, once he's claimed once during this month, now he's entitled to nishba of an hotel forever? That shouldn't be the case. Tosas does not like the pshat of Rashi, and Tosas on the other hand says, no. What does it mean, uli olam, forever? Meaning, the olam, sakhir nishba ben hotel, ein zu takana tova, she neman olam, lomar lo parali. Right? Meaning that why should this sakhir now be believed forever that the balabait did not compensate him? I mean, why should he believe, in what type of nemanut are you giving this poel? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chama Rokva, keneged oto ayom shel tvia, that he gets an additional day. If he makes the claim on the day within the time frame that he was entitled to, then he gets an additional day afterwards to go by and nishba ben hotel. So not that we believe him forever, not that he now has the right to go and be nishba v'otel anytime he wants, but rather, there's a limited period. If he's tovea during the day and is edim to that effect, then he can then, the next day, be nishba v'otel with those edim. But if he comes the day afterwards, meaning 2 days later, then again, he will lose out the right to be nishba v'otel. Okay, we'll stop over here.